We are back and better than ever. Glad to be back. We're going to go back to our roots here and critique a sermon from Saddleback Church from none other than Rick Warren. Going to critique that sermon. His sermon's on judging others from St. James' epistle. And going to see what Pastor Warren has to say about that. And that's where we're going to start and get back into it here. Glad to be back. This is Matthew Garnett. Welcome to In Layman's Terms.
Paul says the exact same thing in Romans 14, verses 10 and 12 and 13. He says this: you have no right to criticize your brother. Pause there. You have no right to criticize your brother or look down on him. Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. Okay? There's going to be a judgment someday. Yes, each of us will have to give an account of himself to God. Now, he says, because of that there's going to be judgment someday, he says, so then, don't criticize each other anymore. I may fold it proud, deep and furrow proud, uncanny and so clever, it's our newest plan ever. Got tired of whining, got a scheme of silver lining for every boy and girl. Can't be responsible for all that's wrong with this world. All right, like I said, we're going to cover a sermon from Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. It just kind of occurred to me that this would be a great time to bring In Layman's Terms back and really start to go full gusto, go back to our roots a little bit here, do a good old-fashioned sermon critique. And what better place to start than with Saddleback Church and Rick Warren? And just started listening through all the usual suspects and came across a sermon from Rick Warren talking about judging. And they're you know, up to their same old tricks, basically. And poor sermons. Poor biblical exegesis, poor understanding of law and gospel, poor understanding of how the law applies to the Christian, and so on and so forth, vocation, those sorts of things is what we're going to cover this week. And we're going to spend pretty much the entire time covering this sermon. We're going to be able to cover all of it, so if you want to listen to the whole thing, you'll have to go to Saddleback's website, but we're going to cover it as much as we can here, so here we go. Everybody, I'm Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, and teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. I want to thank you for tuning into this special series on principles for living through a pandemic. You know, we've been working our way through the book of James in the Bible, and I've called this series A Faith That Works When Life Doesn't. So far, we've covered a lot of ground. Now, this is the 19th message in this series. Now, remember, the book of James is about having the kind of faith that works when life doesn't. And he was writing to people who were under major stress at that time. So it applies to us as we are dealing with COVID-19. Now, when the pandemic started and I began this series, I told you that it's the job of medical experts to help you avoid getting the COVID-19 viral disease. But it is my job as a pastor to help you cope with the emotional dis-ease of this pandemic. It's my job to help you deal with the stress that this pandemic is creating in your personal life
and in your finances and in your relationships and in your work or school and your family life, all of the things that are stressing you out because of the changes. This last week, we heard that we hit the highest number of deaths in Orange County, where I'm taping this right now. And fortunately, the book of James has a lot to say about these very practical areas of your life. Now, I thought this week that since we're about two-thirds through this series of studies, I'd just pause and remind you of what we've already covered. So if you missed any of it, you can go back and listen or watch these previous messages. Now, every message dealt with a different emotional problem. If you're feeling upset by this pandemic, you need to listen to the very first message in the series. It's called A Faith That Walks Through the Valley of Virus. If you're struggling with worry, you need to go to the second message in this series, A Faith That Isn't Troubled by Troubles. If you feel indecisive, you're having a hard time making a decision because the future is cloudy, check out the message, A Faith That Makes Tough Choices Easier. If you feel overwhelmed or stuck in some old patterns, I urge you to listen to the fourth message in this series, A Faith That Overcomes Bad Habits. Now, of course, we've all had losses. We've missed events that we wanted to go to. And if you're grieving about something you've lost, check out the fifth message in this series, A Faith That Expects a Resurrection, if you're grieving. And if you feel like you're just drifting through this COVID-19 crisis, listen to the message, A Faith That Anchors Me in Storms. Now, James is very, very practical. In the first part of the book, he deals with personal stress. Like, have you been more irritable lately? Short-tempered? Check out the seventh message called A Faith That Stays Calm in a Crisis. And if you're feeling depleted and you're worn out and out of energy, check out both part one and part two of A Faith That Leads to Emotional Health. If you want to know how to treat other people during the pandemic, you now want to check out message number 10, A Faith That Shows Respect to Everyone, and message number 11, A Faith That Loves My Neighbor as Myself. Now, if you need faith to strengthen yourself when you're getting more bad news every day, you need to watch or listen to the message, Real Faith versus Fake Faith. Now, the first part of the book deals with these personal stresses, but in the middle of the book of James, he moves to advice about interpersonal stress. And he starts talking about how to improve our relationships, even in stressful times that increase conflict. And so we have done a series of messages on relationships. Message 13 was called A Faith That Plants Seeds of Peace. When you're having trouble with in your family or in your work or whatever. Message 14 was called A Faith That De-escalates Conflict. And message 15, A Faith That Handles Delays Patiently. And then the next message was called A Faith That Helps Me Filter What I Say, because our mouths get us in trouble when we get under stress and we say the wrong things. And the following message after that was A Faith That Makes Me More Merciful. Finally, last week's message was called A Faith That Keeps Me Hopeful When I Feel Like Giving Up. So I want to thank you for joining me in this series. And if you missed any of these messages that I just mentioned, you can watch the videos online at saddleback.com, or you can listen to the audios online at Daily Hope, which is at pastorrick.com. Now, today, we're going to continue studying how to improve relationships, even in the middle of difficult times. Because when we're tired, when we're fatigued, when we're under long-term stress, it often brings out the worst in us. And we can become irritable. We can become touchy, rude, demanding, judgmental of others. And that's why James comes back a second time to deal with the issue of not judging others. And I'm calling this message today, A Faith That Keeps Me From Playing God in the Lives of Others.
So, Pastor Warren has a sermon series based on the book of James, and I'm fairly familiar with the book of James. Being a Lutheran, this is something that we have to contend with, the book of James, which presents some challenges to the notion that Luther put forth in the Reformation, that of justification by faith. And what
my analysis of the book of James is that it is a book that teaches us that we are justified by grace alone, and that there's nothing we can do, nothing we can't do to earn our way into God's family, into the kingdom of heaven. We can't earn our salvation. That is James' basic premise for the whole book, and that because of that, this therefore is how we should treat others. And so my question might be to Pastor Warren, does he talk about that? Does he talk about the fact that because we are reconciled to God, that is our deepest, most basic need as human beings, to know that we're reconciled to God? And that James presents this in a way where he talks about, hey, don't look down on people that may not have as much money as you, may not have as much status as you do, because you're both reconciled by the same thing. Just because you have a higher status, just because you are not struggling with this sin or that sin or whatever else, remember that you all are justified by the person and work of Jesus Christ. That is his birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension to heaven. We should never forget that, because it is easy for us to look down on others. It's easy for me. I mean, I think, oh, I'm a harder worker, or I have a tougher job, or I'm smarter, or I have more education, or I have more money than this person, therefore I can look down on them. But what James teaches us is that, no, that's not how stuff works in the kingdom of God, because we are all children of God. We are all saved by the person and work of Christ, and this is not a work of ourselves. That's really the basic message of James, even though some might look at James and say, oh, well, I think what James is teaching, this is what the Romanists do. I think what James is teaching is that we have to do works in order to be saved, that Jesus' person and work, his life, death, resurrection, and ascension to the right hand of the Father is just what gets us in the door, and that after that we have to work toward our salvation. That's not what James is after at all. What James is saying is that a faith that is real, a faith that has been imparted to us, has been imputed to us, as St. Paul teaches us in Romans, that has been reckoned to us by the person and work of Christ, is a faith that treats others on the par of children of God, no matter what status they might hold. We might need a little bit of that in our day and time. So we talk about equality. This is something that's interesting about the Christian faith. And maybe I'm not completely on this, but at the end of the day, the outcomes for all Christians is virtually equal. Now, will we receive awards and rewards in heaven that follow our works? Of course we will. I you know, will there be a hierarchy in heaven? Who knows? But it doesn't matter, because we won't care about that. See? But at the end of the day, what we're talking about, what the entire Bible and certainly New Testament writers like James is trying to get across to us, is that in salvation we're all equal. That's what St. Paul teaches, that there's not Jew nor Greek, female nor male, that we're all in God's family. And that should be the biggest relief to us all. See, I think that since this modern era has come along and the church has kind of followed the philosophies and patterns of this world since really the Reformation, that we've stopped being scared of being alienated from God. We've stopped being scared of hell. And we've suppressed that. And if we really dig down deep, we'll find that that's our deepest need. And that's really what the bottom line here is with James, is that our deepest need is to be reconciled with God and brought into the family of God because of the person and work of Christ. We need the forgiveness of sins. See, that's what faith fundamentally does. when it's granted to us by the Holy Spirit, we receive the forgiveness of sins, and then we conduct ourselves like Saint James teaches us in his book. And so I just wonder if Pastor Warren touched on that subject, that hey, our deepest need is the forgiveness of sins, to be reconciled with God, because we've offended him through the harm and destruction we've done to him and our neighbor, and that sin is forgiven, and through faith that is granted to us by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the word, and as a Lutheran I would say the sacraments, baptism and the Holy Supper, that faith that is given to us on a day by day, weekly basis, on that is the thing we need. And that because of that, then therefore we treat each other this way. I'm interested to see where Pastor Warren goes with this, and where he's gone with it in his previous sermons. If it's just a bunch of self-help gobbledygook, or if it talks about and focuses on that deep basic need we all have to be reconciled with God and brought into his family, and therefore that's how we treat each other. I wonder if that's how he's going to treat this sermon and how he's treated other sermons in the past. We're gonna tackle this sermon where he talks about not judging. It's interesting because what we're gonna see is, and I've already listened to this sermon, so I know right off the bat, he starts judging his hearers. And so if we're not supposed to judge, then that's kind of curious. It's already kind of a contradiction. And so that's what I wonder about some of these sermons that are coming out of pop evangelicalism right now in this crisis. Is are these guys talking about the forgiveness of sins, our deepest need, and reminding us that our deepest need has been met, and that we no longer need to strive or struggle toward being reconciled with God or coming into his family? We no longer need to earn our way in there. And because we no longer need to earn our way into God's family, we no longer need to earn the forgiveness of our own sins, as if that even makes any amount of sense, then what are we going to do with all that time and energy that we used to put into earning God's favor? Well, we give it to loving and serving our neighbors. That's what I would hope that the Pastor Warren would really focus on, and we'll see what he does in this sermon.
A faith that keeps me from playing God in the lives of others. And our text for today is James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12. Let me read it to you. Brothers and sisters, never say bad things about each other. Anytime you speak against fellow believers, or you judge and you badmouth them, you judge and condemn God's law. And when you judge God's law, you aren't keeping it yourself. Instead, you set yourself up. You set yourself up as the judge. Remember, God is the only true lawgiver and judge, and he alone has the authority to save or destroy. So then, who are you? And what gives you the right to pass judgment on others?
So one thing I found out about Pastor Warren is, you always want to check his translations. And I'm not sure what translation he is quoting here, but let's compare his translation to the ESV, James 4, 11 through 12. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And Pastor Warren's translation says, brothers and sisters. Interesting that adds sisters. It's not there. Incidentally, that may sound misogynist. It's not. Brothers include sisters. We all know this, but yet in our day and time, we have to include sisters just so everybody knows we're including the girls. The girls know they're included. Anyway, brothers and sisters, never say bad things about each other. Well, okay. I don't necessarily disagree with that, but the proper translation is, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. Brothers, do not speak evil against each other. In other words, don't say evil things about your brother. Now, what's evil things? Evil things have to be evil by their nature, right? Isn't that how it has to be? that if I'm going to speak evil against my friend Nathaniel, let's say, I have to say something that's completely untrue about him. It's not just bad things; it's speaking evil against them. It's using your words to speak an evil thing against your brother, which by nature has to be untrue. An evil word spoken is something that cannot be true, because if it's true, then there's some goodness in it, right? Has to be evil. If it's evil, then I'm speaking untruth against my brother. It's not just bad things, because guess what? Our brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, we do bad things. And if I see one of my brothers doing something bad, for me to go and talk to him then if he refuses to deal with it, like Jesus teaches us in Matthew 18, if he refuses to deal with it, then I take a couple others and maybe we go talk to the pastor about that. Now, am I saying something bad against my brother? Well, yeah. In a sense, I am. I'm telling my pastor that my brother's done a bad thing. I'm talking about something he's done bad. So Pastor Warren's translation here is confusing. And again, I don't know where he's getting this, but James is clear. Do not speak evil against your brother. Don't lie against your brother in order to sully his reputation. It's not don't speak bad about somebody. So that kind of notion gives us all this idea that, oh, if we say anything bad about anyone else, we're doing wrong. No, that's not true. Because I can go to my pastor, and if my brother is sinning and he's in trouble and he needs help, and I go, let's just say I've got a friend who's a drug addict, and I go to my pastor and say, hey, pastor, our friend here is addicted to drugs. He's addicted to meth. Am I saying something bad about him? Yeah, in a real way I am. I'm saying he's doing something bad. I'm saying something bad about him. That's not what James is trying to communicate here. He's trying to communicate, hey, don't lie against your brothers in order to make them look bad. You don't feel as up to the task as maybe some of your other brothers, so you're going to say something, you're going to tell a lie about that brother in order to make him look lesser than you. That's what James is after here. It's not talking about something bad. And Pastor Warren's translation here just doesn't quite cut it, in my estimation. Again, I don't know where he's going. Anytime you speak against fellow believers, or you judge and badmouth them, okay, you judge and condemn God's law. That's exactly right. Because what we're talking about here, and we'll get into this, is we're talking about Eighth Commandment stuff. We're talking about saying something that is untrue about another believer. That's badmouthing them. Or you judge them. We're going to talk about vocation in this episode. You're condemning God's law because you're by lying against your brother, or by judging them when you're not authorized to judge them. That's what we're going to talk about mostly, is vocation here. Then you are breaking God's law, and that's what James is getting after here. Not sure where Pastor Warren is getting this translation, but it's not a great one. And he's going to kind of follow along this line. Hey, let's. You know, if you don't have something good to say, don't say it at all. That is not biblical. Nowhere in Holy Scripture can you find that. But that's the sermon Pastor Warren is going to preach here, and we're going to show you why it's wrong.
Time you speak again, or you judge and you badmouth them, you judge and condemn God's law. And when you judge God's law, you aren't keeping it yourself. Instead, you set yourself up. You set yourself up as the judge. Remember, God is the only true lawgiver and judge, and he alone has the authority to save or destroy. So then, who are you? And what gives you the right to pass judgment on others? Well, that's a pretty straightforward passage, and we're just going to take those two verses and look at the implications today. What I want to do today is answer three important questions. Number one, why are we so quick to judge other people? Why do we do that? Number two, why should I not be judgmental of others? Why should I not judge others? And number three, this is the important one that I want to get to. How can I learn to be less judgmental? All right? So let's get into this study, James chapter 4. First, why are we so quick to judge others? Well, in that passage that I just read, James says there are two reasons why we tend to be judgmental of others. And the first one is guilt, our own guilt. Write this down. We want to excuse our own failures. We want to excuse our own failures. You know, when Adam, who was the first man who sinned, he did two things. He excused his own sin, and he accused Eve of being the cause of his sin. And ever since that time, it's been human nature to accuse and excuse. Accuse and excuse. We make excuses for our own behavior, and we accuse others of something worse. Now, that doesn't work, but that's where judgmental comes from. First, when we feel guilty. Romans chapter 2, verse 3, I love this in the Message and the NIV. It says, when you, a mere human, pass judgment on others, do you think that by pointing your finger at others, you will distract God from seeing all your misdoings and keep him from judging you? He said, what are you trying to do? Just distract God by judging other people? You know, anytime you hear a leader or a politician or anybody else condemning or judging the attitudes or the behaviors of other people, you can be sure they're hiding things they don't want judged.
Okay, so I disagree with that completely, that when somebody calls out a sin, now look, keep in mind, Pastor Warren is calling out sin here. So he is judging those who would listen to his sermon of judging others. Isn't that interesting? That Pastor Warren is in fact passing judgment on those who would pass judgment on others. So are we to assume that if what he says is true, that if you, anytime you hear a politician or a pastor passing judgment on some other behavior, that really secretly they are the ones who have that sin, who are struggling with that sin. So according to what Pastor Warren says here, we should, you know, we can assume that he is somebody who passes judgment on somebody else all the time, and he's just trying to pass off his own sin and cover up his own sin and make atonement for his own sin. He's trying to save himself by passing judgment on other people. No, I don't think that's what Pastor Warren's trying to do here, but inadvertently he does it, right? Just by delivering this sermon to say, anytime you see somebody calling out somebody else's sin, secretly they have that sin inside their heart. So based on that, again, Pastor Warren is somebody who is really struggling with passing judgment on other people and judging people unfairly, right? So first of all, that's true. Secondly, I'm interested to see that, to see what the remedy to this is. Pastor Warren is right. We do have that tendency. When we have a sin, especially a secret sin, and we tend to call out people about that particular sin that we're hiding ourselves, that is human nature. He's exactly right. That's exactly what Adam did to Eve in the garden. He pointed at Eve, and not only blamed Eve, but blamed God. That woman you gave me the fruit and I ate. Right? So he's condemning, he is pointing the finger at God. Not only Eve, but God as well, right? What's the remedy to that? What's the remedy? Because if there's no other remedy outside of let's just point fingers at each other, we've got a problem. I'm interested to see if Pastor Warren here in this sermon talks about the remedy that we talked about at first, which is the forgiveness of sins. We have a sin and our inclination is to point out and judge others and to point out their sin all while we're harboring that exact sin. That's really, I think, the point that Pastor Warren is trying to make here, even though it's kind of convoluted and he kind of condemns himself with this sermon. We do that, don't we? We have a sin that's secret And instead of seeking the forgiveness of sins because of the person and work of Christ, we try to point at others and say, hey, look how bad that person is. Instead of confessing and receiving absolution for our own sin. And that's really the remedy to that. It's to say that, okay, instead of pointing out that other person's sin, let's confess our own sin and be absolved of it because of the person and work of Christ. Because Christ shrunk himself down into the womb of a Virgin Mary, the God Almighty of the universe, as I like to say, shrunk himself down into the womb of a virgin, was born a helpless baby, poor, taught, was crucified, a bloody crucifixion, and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven so that we could say, hey, you know what? I don't have to point that other person's sin out in order to make myself feel better. I can come to God and say, hey, I'm guilty of that sin. We can confess and be absolved. That's really the remedy, isn't it? And I hope that's what Pastor Warren's going to point out. Unfortunately, I'm not sure that he's going to.
It's a diversion. It's cover up. They're trying to take all the attention off their own obvious faults that they feel guilty about. But it doesn't work. It doesn't work for two reasons. First, God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't compare us to each other. Jesus is the standard of perfection. So God doesn't grade on a curve. He doesn't say, well, you did better than that person. Second, it's like the old child's game that when you point a finger at someone, you still have three fingers pointing back at yourself. After doing years of counseling of other people, I've learned that a lot of people who think they have a clear conscience really just have a poor memory. And so we judge other people because we want to get the guilt off of us, and we want to distract, and we want people to think about other people, not our problems. The second reason we are quick to judge is pride. Pride. And it's, write this down, we want to feel superior to other people. It makes me feel better, I think, about myself if I could put somebody else down, or I can point out a sin that they have that I don't. You need to be sure that whenever you see a person who's always criticizing, they're always judging, they're always trash talking, you can be sure they feel very insecure. And they try to puff themselves up by putting other people down. People who are secure in their own identity, they don't need to badmouth other people to feel better about themselves. So guilt causes us to judge others, and pride causes us to judge others. Now, the worst form of pride is religious pride, spiritual pride. The Bible calls this the sin of self-righteousness. You see, real Christ-like faith makes you more humble. It makes you more gentle. But self-righteous faith makes you more arrogant and more stubborn and more critical and more judgmental. And you know people like that, and you know you've been guilty of it yourself. And you know, Job's friends in the book of Job were guilty of judging Job's situation incorrectly because they just wanted to feel better about themselves. Job 19, verse 5 says this. Job says, talking to his friends, "You are trying to make yourselves look better than me by using my disgrace, using the problems in my life as an argument against me." He said, you know what? It's not just guilt, it's pride. And you want to make yourself look better, so you're judging me. By the way, this is why people gossip, okay? Because they want to feel better than other people. It's why they read gossip magazines. It's why they watch shows like TMZ. And they get a perverse pleasure in reading about the downfall or the peccadilloes or the problems of other people because they think it makes them feel they're better. And God condemns all of that gossip. In fact, God condemns gossip many, 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 many times in the Bible. Gossipers are both prideful and insecure. By the way, you can be certain that people who gossip to you are also gossiping about you, guaranteed. If they gossip to you, they are gossiping about you. So you should not listen to gossip. It's stolen goods. So these are the reasons, guilt and pride, why we tend to be judgmental of others. why should I not judge others? Well, James in chapter 4 points out three reasons in these two verses. First, he says, judging others is unloving. It's unloving. You can't love somebody and judge them at the same time.
All right, so here again, we're waiting for the remedy to this. Just don't judge others. Because Pastor Warren rightly points out that a lot of the times when we have something judgmental to say about other, our fellow believers, our fellow brothers in Christ, that we are harboring that sin ourselves. That's true. What's the way out of this? Confession and absolution. And unfortunately here, and at least in Pastor Warren's first point, he's not leading us to that remedy. To say, hey, you know, when you're in that situation where you've got this sin and you see somebody else committing that sin and you want to judge them, you want to gossip about them. By the way, I completely agree with Pastor Warren about if somebody's gossiping in front of you, you can rest assured they're going to gossip about you somewhere else. So that's hopefully would be some amount of motivation to say, hey, brother, I hear what you're saying, but it sounds like you're hiding sin that needs to be confessed and absolved. And I know that when you go away from me, you're gonna talk about me behind my back. That is a very, very hard thing to do. But that's something that, you know, that personally me grates against my nerves, because there's so much so much about me that I know there is to talk about. I've got so many flaws and I'm so weak. And I live in a community of people that are very strong, very smart people, and they would have every reason to gossip about me. I know they don't. But if there's an occasion where one of them starts talking about somebody else behind their back, I can rest assured that they're going to talk about me behind my back. You know, that's something that maybe we should all get a little bit stronger about calling out, to say, hey, brother, you're talking about this other person behind their back, and I'm not cool with that. Not cool with that. That's a hard, hard thing to do. But to the fundamental point, to say, what's our way out of this? It's confession of our own sin. When we want to condemn somebody else, when we want to point out somebody else's sin, and really what we're doing is trying to cover up our own sin, what are we doing? We're trying to save ourselves. We're trying to save ourselves by pointing out somebody else's sin. That's not the way to go. The way to go is to confess our own sin and admit that, hey, we have that weakness too. And that will give grace to our brothers. And again, I think that's what Pastor Warren is ultimately driving at, although he's completely misguided in this sermon as far as judging. Because again, remember, keep in mind, he is judging us who are judging. So he, by his own admission, is a very judgmental person. And he needs to confess the sin of being judgmental. And we'll talk about where it's right for a person to be the judge, because there is a place for a person to be a judge. And Pastor Warren is completely right in his place as judge here, because he's a pastor. He's supposed to call out sin. See? So he's completely right in this. He may not realize that in some senses, but taking this sermon, you know, if I wanted to just completely dismiss what Pastor Warren was saying, I'd just say, oh, you're talking about me judging other people? You're judging me about judging other people. So, you know, who's on first? Right? That's what's going on here. But Pastor Warren has every right to call his congregation out about judging people improperly because they're hiding sin instead of confessing that sin. And he's calling people out about judging people when they don't have the right, when they don't have the vocation to judge that sin. Pastor Warren has a right to call out people for judging others because he is a pastor. That is his vocation, and we'll talk about that more as the sermon goes on.
It's the opposite. Judging is the opposite of Jesus' great commandment, which James calls the royal law. The great commandment is the royal law. Love your neighbor as yourself. You can't do that. You can't act loving towards somebody while you're judging them at the same time. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we covered chapter 2, verse 8, where James says, the royal law found in Scripture is love your neighbor as yourself. And he says, if you obey this law, you do the right thing. You're doing the right thing. It's always the right thing to love your neighbors yourself. But now, a couple chapters later, in chapter 4, he adds these words, James 4:11. Anytime you speak against fellow believers, or you judge, you badmouth them, you judge and condemn God's law. What law? The royal law, love your neighbors yourself. He says, you're breaking the great commandment every time you judge. You know, I once heard a story one time about a woman who told her pastor, Pastor, I have the gift of criticism. Now, of course, that's not a spiritual gift in the Bible. So the pastor said, well, that is one talent you should bury. Go bury that gift, the gift of criticism. All right? So judging others is unloving. The second thing that that James says is that judging others is God's job, not mine. It's God's job, not mine. And he points this out in the next verse, verse 12. Here's what he says. Remember, God is the only true lawgiver and judge. That word lawgiver, I think, is only used 5 times in the Bible, 4 times in the Old Testament, and this one time in the New Testament. God is the only true lawgiver and judge. He alone has the authority to save or destroy. So then James says, so then who are you? And what gives you the right to pass judgment on others?
All right, so now, here's where I love being Lutheran. Because what gives you... Okay, so let's just take Pastor Warren's translation as accurate. What gives you the right to pass judgment on others? Well, what gives Pastor Warren to pass judgment on those who are passing judgment on others? Right? He is judging his congregation and those who watch this video of passing judgment on others. What gives him the right to pass judgment on us who are passing judgment? God does. Via the commandments concerning vocation. Pastor Warren's vocation is a pastor. He is perfectly within his purview to call out those who are passing judgment when their vocation is not to pass judgment. Right? I pass judgment on my children all the time. And if you're a parent and you're not passing judgment on your children, you're wrong. You have been given the authority, parents, to pass judgment on your children. When they do something wrong, you say, son, daughter, that's wrong. You're doing it wrong. And let me correct you. You have been given the authority by God via the law to pass judgment on them. If you're a judge in a court and a criminal stands before you, you have been given the authority to pass judgment on them. That's what the Ten Commandments set up, our vocations. And this is what the evangelicals don't have, that the Lutherans have, is this notion of vocation. And this is exactly what James is talking about at the end of the day. If you do not have the God-given authority to pass judgment on somebody else, you have no business passing judgment on them. Whether they're guilty or not, they may be guilty, but what you have to consider carefully is it your vocation to pass judgment on that person? Now, if one of my brothers in the church is committing a sin, what's the move? To start going around the church and gossiping about them and telling, oh, I saw this person with some other person's wife. Is that my job? No. My job, according to Jesus' own words in Matthew 18, is to confront that person. And if that person is indeed in sin, to hope that they will repent. And a lot of times they will. I mean, my brothers and I, my friends and I, here at Redeemer Lutheran, we do that all the time. We call each other out all the time on sin. You know what happens with this time? Yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm sinning in that area. And I need to confess my sin. know that I'm forgiven. Again, that's the bottom line remedy to all this. And then vow to do better. But if there's a situation where there is sin and the brother is going to continue in the sin, then we've got to bring in other authorities to judge our brothers. Yes. But the whole point James is making is don't judge if it's not your vocation to judge. Send it up the chain of command, as they might say in the military. See a brother sinning, you care about that brother, you see that they're doing something destructive to themselves and those around them, then you've got to confront them. And then if they won't repent and receive forgiveness, you've got to send it up the chain of command. You've got to talk to the pastors. You've got to talk to the church. There's a proper way to judge. This is what James is talking about. He's not talking about willy-nilly going around judging people. Oh, that person's sinning, and let's gossip about it. And no, that's not what we're shooting for here. And God has given authority to human beings on earth to be judge in this temporal situation. And what Pastor Warren is saying here is, you know, even he's in the wrong to give this sermon according to his own words. He's not to be judging people to judge others. That's God's job. Let God judge them, ultimately. So we don't do anything about our brother sinning here on earth. We just wait until the second coming and let God be the judge. That is not what James is trying to teach here at all. At all. This is this, you know, postmodern idea of, oh, well, let's just live and let live. Let's not judge anybody at all. Let's not hold them to account to the commands of Holy Scripture. And I don't think that's what Pastor Warren is shooting for here, but that's the message he's bringing across. Just stop judging everybody. Oh, your brother wants to leave his wife and his children so he can go engage in a sodomistic relationship with another man. He wants to go live in sodomy with another man. It's not your place to judge. It's God's place to judge. Is that the message Pastor Warren's trying to bring across here? I don't think so, but that's the message that anybody that doesn't know anything is going to get when they listen to this sermon.
Huh? Now, I want you to write this down, because this is the whole message in a sentence. Anytime I judge other people, I'm playing God. I'm playing God. You know, my family likes to play games, and at every holiday.
So again, is Pastor Warren playing God here? Sure sounds like it. He's judging those who are judging. What right is it of his to judge you, the judge? Hey, what if I want to set myself as judge of everybody according to my own standards? What right do you have, Pastor Warren, to judge me for that? See, it's contradictory. And the only way out of this is two things. One, the forgiveness of sins. And Pastor Warren has yet to discuss that. And unfortunately, I've listened to this whole sermon. We're not going to be able to get to the whole thing here today. I would encourage you to go listen to it. But he never talks about the forgiveness of sins in this entire thing. Never talks about confession and absolution. Never talks about the fact that, hey, I've got a sin in my heart. And because I don't want that sin revealed, I judge others and condemn them because of that sin. And instead of doing that and trying to make atonement for our own sins in that twisted and evil way, that we go confess our sins to the pastor and be absolved because of the person and work of Christ, that never comes up in this sermon. The second thing is he never talks about where it is right for where God has given human beings, namely pastors, the authority to judge sin. Where we as parents have been given the authority to judge sin. Don't tell me I'm not allowed to judge my children. Yes, I am. I'm given that authority in the Ten Commandments. Absolutely. A magistrate, police officer, whatever else, they've been given that authority by God in the Ten Commandments, in the Holy Scripture, to judge others. We have been given that authority. Now, can we abuse that authority? Of course we can. But that's not the point. The point is that Pastor Warren has been given authority by the virtue of the fact that he's a pastor, to judge others. I've been given authority to judge my children. I've been given authority to judge Pastor Warren's sermon here as a Christian, to warn others, to warn my other brothers and sisters in Christ to beware of false teachers. We see this clearly spelled out with the Bereans in Acts, that they judged what was said according to the scriptures. That's our job as Christians. When somebody is publicly teaching, this is precisely what Luther lays out in the Large Catechism, in the Eighth Commandment, that when somebody is publicly teaching, their public teaching is fair game for judgment from lay people like me spouting our opinions off on the internet. That's allowed. What I'm doing here, I'm judging Pastor Warren's sermon as inaccurate, as not only inaccurate, but lacking the gospel. That's allowed. I am not breaking God's law by judging Pastor Warren's sermon here. But according to him, he might say that I am. So my question is, what right does he have to judge me for judging when he makes no sense of that? See, so this entire sermon makes no sense. This is a live and let live. Kind of moralistic, anarthrosism that you really can't make sense of. It just makes no sense. So when are we supposed to call our brothers out for sin? Pastor Warren, when am I allowed to say that your sermon makes no sense here? Am I allowed to say that, or am I breaking the commands of Holy Scripture by calling you out on giving a really crappy, unclear sermon? Am I allowed to do that? Are your parishioners allowed to do that? Are you allowed to call your parishioners out for doing sinful things? You're doing that right here. You're calling them out for judging improperly. How is it that you say we're not supposed to judge? The sermon's completely out of context, and it makes no sense, and it's completely unhelpful. It's a moralistic, relativistic sermon that says just live and let live. So if I want to do whatever I want to do, then I have no right to judge anybody else. That is not what Holy Scripture teaches. And I am shocked, honestly shocked, that Pastor Warren is giving this kind of sermon, because this is the kind of sermon that people have taken and said, oh, well, the Bible says don't judge lest you be judged. So I can live however I want and you don't get to judge me. That's how those people take this. And Pastor Warren is reinforcing that notion here, it seems to me. And you can go listen to the entire sermon, but that seems to be what's going on here. Let's get a bit more in, then we got to quit for the week.
Holiday, they break out all the board games and the card games, and they play. Let me tell you one game you should never play, playing God. Okay? Anytime I judge others, he says, there's only one judge. There's only one lawgiver, God. It says, let God be God. God is God and you're not. And he says, don't. Anytime I'm judging others, I'm playing God. Paul says the same thing in Romans 14. Look at this verse, Romans 14:4. Who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To his own master, he stands or falls. And he will stand, for the Lord is able to make him stand. So,
all right, so we got to cut it off right there. But that proves my exact point. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? It's the master's job to judge that servant. Who are you to judge my children? Unless, you know, again, my friend Nathaniel is also my son Isaac's school teacher. I have given him the authority to judge Isaac. But if one of my other churchmates comes along and starts spouting judgment upon Isaac, they're out of place. They're out of line. Now, let me say this. I'm a part of a church where we all have kind of a unwritten agreement that we're allowed to discipline each other's children. All right. So if, you know, like this morning, I'm privileged to teach our teenage Bible class at our church. And if the younger children who've been let out of class a little early are out in the hall making a bunch of noise and I go out there and yell at them, nobody's going to get after me for judging those children for disrupting my class, because there's an unwritten understanding that all the parents have authority over all the children at our church. All right. But there's some situations where I can cross that line, where I'm judging somebody else's children, where I'm not authorized to judge somebody else's children. See, that's exactly what St. Paul is saying in that passage. Who are you to judge somebody? You know, it's about vocation. What vocation has God given you to judge this person? And that's what we ought to think about. That would have been a great sermon from St. James's epistle here to say, okay, if we're going to judge somebody, we all should judge. Humans have been given the authority to judge on this earth. But what we need to think about is, do I have the authority from God in my vocation to make this judgment? That's what St. James is teaching here. And that is what Pastor Warren is missing here. That's the more peripheral issue he's missing here. And on top of that, the more basic issue he's missing here that he does not mention in this entire sermon is the forgiveness of sins. I completely agree with him that we have hidden sin. And a lot of times, in order to cover up that sin, we point that same sin out about others in order to cover up our own sin. That's not the way to go, people. The way to go is just confess and be forgiven and vow to do better. And I would love to hear Pastor Warren talk along those lines. Unfortunately, he does not at all in this sermon. He does not understand vocation at all, where a person is given a right to judge, like a parent, like a pastor. He's judging very severely. He's judging here those who would judge as a pastor, and he's right to do so. He's been given the authority by God to judge his parishioners for judging others who judge unjustly. Who's on first? If that makes sense. So, yeah, the sermon is extremely confusing and does not talk about the forgiveness of sins as a way out of this. Does not talk about vocation. Misses two major pieces of Christian doctrine. And again, if you go listen to the sermon in its entirety, then you'll see that he really never gets around to those two things. All right, there we go. Hey, we are live. We are back and better than ever. In layman's terms, Matthew Garnett, we'll hope to see you next week with another installment of this, and we'll keep it going. Glad to be back. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.